Let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Why, I tell you, I love to preach. I love the Word of God. And I hope you'll take what I'm about to say, but my heart's already been blessed this morning. I could leave Brother Thurman and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to fellowship with God's people. The good teaching, the good singing, just the good presence of the Lord. Brother Steve, you're right. It's a special place. Amen. This building was dead until the first believer came in. But honey, when the first believer walked in, life came in with that believer. Amen. The Spirit of God doesn't dwell in buildings made with bricks and two by fours and sheetrock. It dwells in the likes of you and I. The better phrase it more correctly, He dwells in the likes of you and I. 2 Samuel chapter number 9 this morning. It's in my heart. I just want to say real quickly, if you'll be looking, Lord willing, next week, Abram's in the facility now where he's going to be for a while. And Lord willing, next week I'll have an address in the bulletin where you can write to him. Okay, and that'll be important. That'll be needful. I've already spoken with Brother Napper this week, and he's going to be mailing him a Bible and mailing him the first lessons in the Prisoner's Bible Institute. So please be much in prayer for Abram as well as his family. Let me read 2 Samuel chapter number 9. It's 13 verses, so let me read the chapter. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, and the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness, show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face, and he did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" And the king called to Ziba. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. If correctly read, that's chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. I want to preach this morning for a little while with the help of the Lord on the journey from Lodabar to the king's table. The journey from Lodabar to the king's table. Let's pray together. Father, we sure do thank you this morning for the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. Thank you, our Father, for your presence this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we go through the message this morning. God, that the Spirit in the study of your word would be conveyed to the pulpit and then to the pew. Help us this morning, Lord, we pray, as we examine this wonderful picture of God's mercy in the Bible. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before I forget, I have a little niece that's here with me this morning. And Bobby and Eddie have brought Brianna with them. And I already got me one big hug, but don't you leave without me getting another one, okay? Amen. You think we could talk Bobby and Eddie into buying us some lunch after a while? Yes. Oh, yeah, okay. Good. All right, amen. All right. I want to talk about this journey from Lodabar to the king's table. And I want to magnify some truths in the Word of God this morning that I pray will be a blessing to your heart and to your life. First of all, I want to say three things. This journey, it will begin with mercy. And then also, this journey will continue in mercy. And I want you to see that this journey will end in mercy. And I believe when I get done, you'll understand a little bit more about how the Lord has spoken to my heart. Mercy, if you wanted to define it, you would say that grace is God giving to us something that we do not deserve. That is the grace of God. And there is a picture of the grace of God in this passage of Scripture. Mercy is God withholding from us that we do deserve. And I read this illustration about mercy, and I think it sets it up well. A mother once approached Napoleon seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and justice demanded death. She said, "But I don't ask for justice. I plead for mercy." And he said, "But your son does not deserve mercy." That's what Napoleon replied. She said, "Sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. Mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. Mercy would not be mercy if you and I deserved mercy. But thank God this morning, where justice called in your life and in my life, mercy answered. I thank the Lord for that. Let's begin this journey this morning. This journey begins with mercy. Let me just say a couple of things quickly. Number one, mercy was needed as a result of a fall. And you say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" In 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet." Listen to how it happened. "He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." My point, first off, starting out in the message this morning, is this. Mercy was needed as a result of a fall. Mephibosheth had fallen and therefore was lame on both of his feet. His nurse took him out in a haste, in a hurry, and he had fallen and became lame. You say, "Preacher, I don't know what that has to do with us." Beloved, listen, mercy is needed in your life and in my life as a direct result of a fall. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden disobeyed God, and that plunged the entire human race into what we call sin. And beloved, listen, mercy is needed. You say, "Preacher, I don't need mercy." Yes, you do. You may not understand it. You may not be aware of it. You may not recognize it. You may not admit it. But as a result of a fall, every one of us in this building need the mercy of an almighty God. Amen. Mercy was needed as a result of a fall. Let me give you this. Mercy would be shown because of a choice. You see, God chooses to have mercy. Aren't you glad? Thank God. It's not that we deserve it. It's not that he's ever been impressed with anything that we have done.
But thank God His mercy and His kindness has appeared to us. And beloved, we can trust Him as our Savior. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with David? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 10, how many of you are aware that Saul was a bitter enemy of David? Saul was jealous of David. Saul hated David. Saul tried to kill David. Amen. He was very, very, very adamant about destroying him, because jealousy is as cruel as the grave, the Word of God said. And in a rage many times, he tried to take David's life. But listen to this. I'm talking about a choice. In 1 Samuel 24 and 10, behold, this day, this is David speaking to Saul. He said, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord hath delivered thee today into my hand in the cave. You remember, David got close enough to cut off a piece of his garment. And listen to what the Bible said here. And some of my men, David is saying, they bade me to kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. David made a choice, Brother Rose, on that day that is going to affect the choice that he makes on this day. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. But David says, hey, is there any left of the house of Saul? I got it in my heart. I want to show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. I want to have some mercy on him in this generation. Amen. David could have been a very bitter man, but the circumstances that David faced did not make him a bitter man. David was the man that walked with God, the man after God's own heart. And it was that that helped him to make him a better man, not a bitter man. And because of that, he could choose to show mercy. The third thing, the journey begins with mercy. Mercy was needed as a result of the fall. Mercy would be shown because of a choice. But then let me just show you this. Mercy could be shown because of a covenant. You say, preacher, what do you mean? There was a day, let me read to you about it. And it came to pass, 1 Samuel 18:1, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. You say, preacher, I don't know what this has got to do with us. Let me just tell you something this morning. Listen to me. Here is a man, my friend David, that is going to show kindness, that is going to have mercy on Mephibosheth because of a covenant that he had made with his daddy. I'm going to tell you something right now about shout glory. Jesus left the portals of heaven. Jesus come down here to earth. Jesus went to an old rugged cross, and Jesus died. And beloved, listen, there's a blood covenant, my friend, listen, with his Father, that anyone that'll come by way of the cross, he can have mercy on that individual. That blesses my heart this morning. There was a covenant of love. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That blood dripped from that old rugged cross. You have, my friend, an Old Testament. That would be an old covenant. You have a New Testament. You had a new covenant. My friend, listen, the blood of bulls and goats was never going to take away sin. It would put off the sin from year to year. But thank God, here comes the Lamb. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Because of that covenant, he could show mercy. My friend, he said, for Jonathan's sake, you want to know why God has mercy on anybody? Listen to me. It's for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. There's a covenant, amen. It begins with mercy. Listen, mercy was needed as a result of the fall. Mercy would be shown because of a choice. Mercy could be shown because, my friend, and a result of a covenant. Then this journey continues with mercy. Let me just give you this morning. Lamentations, we're going through the chapter. In Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Now listen to me carefully. The Bible said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I believe that. Listen, notice what the Bible said. It said, they are new every morning. God has mercy. New every morning. The Bible said, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? The journey continues with mercy. Let me give it to you. First of all, it is mercy that fetched us out of Lodabar. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. You say, preacher, what is Lodabar typical of? It's typical of a land that's without pasture. It's typical of a land that was barren. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. When you and I were wandering around in this world in sin, we were wandering around in a world that did not have pasture, a world that was dried up, where we did not have any purpose in our life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? This journey continues with mercy. It is mercy that fetched you and I. The king sent and said, hey, I want you to get him out of Lodabar. Get him to the king's table. Thank God this morning. You say, preacher, who did the king send? Let me give you this. He sent the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, one night he come by where I was living and said, that's enough in the deadness. That's enough in the dryness. I've got a land that's filled with milk and honey. Come on over here to the king's table. Amen. Bless the Lord. It is mercy that fetched us out of Lodabar. Secondly, it is mercy that gets us before the king. Watch verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face. Let me tell you something right now. I don't believe anybody ever got saved until the Holy Ghost brought him before the king. Listen, when the Holy Ghost brings you before the king, you'll not be popping your chewing gum. You'll not be grinning from ear to ear. But you'll do just like Mephibosheth did. You'll fall on your face. You'll realize how holy he is. You'll realize how helpless you are. You'll realize how clean he is, how dirty you are, how innocent he is, and how guilty you are. Hell, my friend, you cannot make it to heaven without him. You'll realize that in a moment of time in the presence of the king. Thank God not only did he fetch us out of Lodabar, but he said, I got somebody I want you to meet. Oh, glory. I tell you, there's a lot of people, they made a New Year's resolution and they're already back in Lodabar because they didn't meet the one, Brother Steve, that can keep us out of Lodabar. They met, my friend, a resolution. What they needed was to meet with regeneration and a relationship with the God of heaven. Amen. It's mercy that fetched us out of Lodabar. It's mercy that gets us before the king. But let me give you this. In verse number 7 and verse number 9, it's mercy that helps us to overcome Lodabar. Let me ask you something. Now listen to me. We read those stories about those Egyptians. God's done brought them across the Red Sea. God's raining manna down, feeding them. Their shoes are not wearing out. Their clothes are not wearing out. And yet they're griping and talking about, my friend, listen, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? At least over there we had some onions and we had some melons and we had the leeks and we had the garlics. Listen to me. You can fuss at them people if you want to. But there's that old man, Brother Joe. Yes, we put off the old coat and put on the new. That old man will rear his ugly head and get his eyes on Lodabar every once in a while and want to go backwards instead of going forward for the glory of God Almighty. You say, preacher, why aren't you in Lodabar? Why aren't you back where you started? I'll tell you why. Because it's the mercy of God that keeps me out of Lodabar. It's not my determination. It's my friend, the grace of a living God that keeps me out. of that place that he brought me out from. Notice what the Bible said in verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not. Beloved, listen. There'll be some fear when you come before the king. They can put all these bumper stickers out there they want to. No fear. You ever stand before the King of Glory, there'll be some fear. There'll be some fear. I want to see how the bumper stickers check out on that day when they stand before the great white throne. They won't nobody be holding up a sign that says no fear. I can guarantee you that. They're going to bow and they're going to confess. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the glory of God the Father. Watch this now. He said, fear not. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. I want you to get this. I'm going to get to the end of the message, but I want you to get this. He said, I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. Beloved, listen to me. David could have kept that for himself. That could have been the spoils. Amen. But he said, I'm telling you, I got a heart that's full of grace. I got a heart that's full of love. I got a heart that's full of mercy. And I'm going to give you some things back that you lost in the fall. Oh, glory. Well, amen. Think about the things, my friend, that you have, that I have, that money cannot buy. Because the king said, I'm going to give you some things back that you lost in the fall. Beloved, listen. Anybody talk to him this morning? Hey, anybody talk to him? Raise your hand if you talk to him. Let me tell you something. God gave us that back. When we got saved, we have access into the holiest of all. Anybody have joy in your heart this morning? You know, right now, Sawyer has joy. Olivia has joy. I can't get over it. I mean, I came out of the fellowship hall. Olivia stood in the hall and went. She was happy to see Papa. Let me tell you something. The day will come, Olivia will lose her joy. It'll weigh heavy on her because she's lying to Mommy. Because she's lying to Daddy. Because Mommy told her not to get that sweet thing before dinner and she went around the corner and got it anyway. There'll come a day when that joy will be gone. Conviction will set in. That's my prayer. And then that youngin' will say, hey, you know, I had joy when I was a little bitty baby, but it's gone in the fall. And thank God, God will give her joy back. God will give her, my friend, listen, all that she needs because he's merciful. Amen. Amen. Beloved, listen. I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Then in verse 9, the Bible said, then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Beloved, listen. I imagine, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, not trying to be stupid, but I am imagining that there are some people that have a hard time believing when they sit down in a lawyer's office and they hear a will read, they have a hard time believing that maybe they're a pauper this day and somebody loved them and somebody wrote a will that included them. And beloved, listen, maybe they've left them land. Maybe they've left them houses. Maybe they've left them money. But I'm telling you, it happens, amen, that in an inheritance, somebody's just absolutely shocked. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. One day, my friend, listen, Mephibosheth is in Lodabar, lame on both of his feet. It is just like it always has been. And beloved, listen, he's headed for the king's table. He gets before the king. The fear is removed because the king puts him at ease. But listen, that would be good enough. But the king is fixing to tell him, son, everything that Saul ever had, everything that Jonathan ever had, I'm giving it to you. Listen, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. My friend, fadeth not away in the heavens. As the children of God, God has set us down and said, hey, you lost it in the fall, but now we're joint heirs with God and with Christ his son. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's mercy. We continue the journey in mercy. we begin the journey in mercy. It's mercy that provides all that we need in this life. Look in verse 10. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land. Notice this. For him. Glory to God. It's getting good. Mephibosheth is lame. What good's a bunch of land if you can't till it? What good's a bunch of fruit if you can't pick it? What good's a bunch, my friend, of food if you can't gather it? And so God said, listen, watch this. David said, thou therefore, thy sons, thy servants, shall till the land for him. And thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Let me tell you whatever, say whatever you want to, beloved. But Mephibosheth was not just concerned about himself. And David made a way that his sons, his servants, could, my friend, be taken care of in this walk of life. Aren't you glad that Jesus made a way that you and I could be taken care of? You say, preacher, all he's interested is in your soul. All he's interested in is your life. Let me tell you, you've missed it. You've missed it. The Bible tells us, beloved, that our God will give us all things that we need. He'll supply it all according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Beloved friend, it's mercy that provides all that we need. It's mercy that transports us from Lodabar, the place of no pasture, to the king's table. Watch this now. Then said Ziba unto the king in verse 11, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one. Anybody about to get a hold of this? As one of the king's sons. You say, preacher, who do you think you are? That ain't what it's about. It ain't about who I think I am. It's about who he said I am. I'm one of the king's sons. Are you one of the king's sons? Have you ever slid your feet under his table this week and sat down and let him feed you at the king's table? You say, preacher, that's what I come to church for. I'm going to tell you what. You'll be malnutrition if you don't learn to eat for yourself. Amen. In this precious old Bible, the bread of God. Beloved, what do you mean here, preacher? This journey ends in mercy. What do you mean? How many believes it started in mercy? How many believes it continued in mercy? Now I'm going to go out of the scripture for just a moment. But I'll be in the scripture, but I'm going to go on and show you how that it's going to end in mercy. They said, preacher, I don't know what you mean. Watch this now. This journey is going to end with mercy. The Bible said here in our story that Mephibosheth's journey ended at the king's table. You see that? Watch this now. What about the rest of the story? Watch in verse number 13 now. So Mephibosheth dwelled in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet. I want every young person in this room to listen to me right here. Listen to me. It's the devil that puts out the lie. You're young. You're full of life. Live it up. Go sow your wild oats. You can get saved somewhere down the line. God will have mercy. And God will forgive you. How many's with me so far? Listen to me right here. There's people in this building. I want to hear from the adults right now. How many of you are still carrying scars? You say, preacher, what's your point right here? He's eating bread at the king's table, but he's still lame on both of his feet. Brother Tim, we can't grow out here and smoke pot and drink liquor and shoot drugs in our veins for 10, 15 years and come back in, get saved by the grace of God and expect that the effects of sin will go away. You say, preacher, you're preaching? Yes, I am. Why? Because I love our young people. I don't want my children. I don't want my grandchildren to make the same mistakes that I made. Are you listening to me? I believe with all of my heart. You say, preacher, how are you talking about mercy here in the end of the journey? I tell you how. Lodabar, he left out on a journey. He ended up at the king's table. But every time he looked up under the table, those feet were still lame. I'm going to tell you what, that was true at King David's table. But that'll not be true at King Jesus' table. Ooh, glory. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart Mephibosheth has been delivered. I don't believe there's anybody lame in glory. I listen, you say, preacher, I don't know why you're so excited. Let me tell you why. These scars, Brother Steve, that stinking mess that I sowed to as a young man, where I'm going, honey, it won't even be a distant memory. It'll never show up again. It goes in the mercy of God. This, oh, glory. This journey's going to end in mercy. I won't remember the tears. I won't remember the suffering. I won't remember the pain. I won't remember, my friend, the sowing that went on before I came to know the Lord. But blessed be God in His mercy. It'll be erased forever and forever. Yes, we've been forgiven. But I tell you what I believe. I believe in preaching the love of God and mercy of God and the grace of God. Sometimes we as Baptists have led our young people astray. And they're thinking, beloved, I'll do what I want to do now. And I'll get some help later. There'll be consequences for what we do now. There'll be consequences. He's still lame on his feet. In chapter number 9 of 2 Samuel. But when Jesus went down there in the heart of the earth and he got them, he had to be the first fruits of them that sleep. When he went down there and got them and he took them, now the believer dies to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I know we're awaiting the redemption of the body, but I also know something's going on there that they recognize one another. Read about the rich man. Read about Lazarus. Amen. Read about Father Abraham. They recognize one another. But listen, I believe that Mephibosheth recognizes David where he is right now. But I also believe he understands that the curse of sin is gone. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more death. There are no more tears. There's no more sickness. There's no more sadness. There's no more suffering. You say, preacher, wonder what it's going to be like in heaven. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Mephibosheth, because of God's mercy, is now able to slide his feet under the table of King Jesus. In verse number 13, he's lame on both of his feet. The fall had left its mark on Mephibosheth. Beloved, the fall has left its mark on every one of us. But thank God, the journey will end with mercy. Because in the resurrection, all, Brother Gary, all the marks of the fall will be erased. We'll have a body like Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but every day that I live, the longing gets stronger and stronger and stronger for that land that's fairer than day. By faith, I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet, by and by. I don't know. Some of these youngins, my grandchildren, some of them, they get those little gummy things and those little candies that are sour. To me, why would you do that? Why would you even call it candy if it's sour? I mean, to tell you, buddy, some of that stuff I've put in my mouth, sometimes they've tricked me. Want one of these, Peppo? I pucker up for 2 days after putting that thing in my mouth. Amen? There'll be nothing sour in glory. It's going to be sweet. I told that gentleman yesterday that we spoke to, we're here because we want you to go with us. That's why we go out. It's so good. The beginning was good. The journey's good.
Let me tell you something, the end's going to be gooder. It's going to be perfect. And I want somebody to go with me to the city of God. Are you ready? Have you experienced God's mercy? Have you went from Lodabar to the king's table? Oh, beloved friend, I trust that you have. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to share with our precious people this Lord's Day. God, I know that Mephibosheth has a special place in his heart for David. And Lord, I know that we as your people, we have a special place in our heart for Jesus. Lord, you were able to show us kindness for Jesus' sake. God, I believe there are people here today, Lord, that they need to understand and they need to experience that mercy. Their journey has never begun in the mercy of God. Lord, I pray today that someone would look to you. Someone, Lord, would understand this day that they need mercy. They don't deserve mercy, but they need mercy from God. I pray, Lord, today that perhaps you'd put it in some hearts. Maybe just come around, Lord, and thank you for being so merciful. Thank you, God, that when justice called, mercy answered. Thank you, Lord, that we don't get what we deserve. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to recover from the fall. And Lord, thank you that one day we'll be completely recovered from the fall. You'll give us back everything and more that we ever lost in the Garden of Eden. Help us, our Lord.